Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about something, so I want to share it with you. And I need the Lord's help. A couple weeks ago, I got a message from someone, was talking, and they made a comment that made me to stop and ponder. They said at one point of their life, I was so lost. And I think the expression I was lost is easy to understand, but it made me to stop and think about the expression that I was so lost. This came from someone that had witnessed a good Christian life. They had witnessed the workings of God. This had come from someone who had kept their life somewhat in the peripheral of God's workings for a while in their life. And they had went away from that, and they had moved so far away from it that the expression seemed to be, I was so lost, seemed to suggest that I went so far from what I could know and understand. I went so far of what I believe. I went so far from it that I could barely even see it anymore. I went so far from the realities of that I was so lost that you could move away from that. I want to think about that a little bit today and realize that God made a wonderful plan for us to be saved. I believe that God's heart, the great heart of God, who is love, loves all of us. And should say it this way, loves you, loves me individually more than we will ever understand. I don't think that we can really grasp the love of God to us. And He loves us so much that He made a plan, but He will not do it for us. He sets it before us as free moral agents and said there was... We did not choose, Adam and Eve did, but we did not choose, come into the world to choose to be away from God. It was a default of our life. Everyone is born in sin. Everyone is born a transgressor. We're all born with the capacity of that. We didn't choose that, but God did come in and said, I will give you a choice. You can be saved. He sends His Spirit. We had men's meeting the other night. And in the men's meeting, some things came out. And one of the things that came out was the idea that if you live in the Spirit, walk also in the Spirit. And I've been, ever since we had that meeting Friday night, I've been running that through my mind and the possibilities of all that means. And there is given to us the grace of God that can change us, change our lives, change us from as Brother Salmon said, an old horse thief, and transform us into a saint of God. The grace of God is given to us to overcome the things of this world and gives us gentleness and sweetness and gives us temperance and patience. And it's the grace of God, the enabling power of God that can help you and I to have the things in our life we should have. It's not by ourselves, but by the grace of God. He also gives us the Spirit of God to empower us to do the right things. And yet with that influence, He said, if you live in the Spirit, walk also in the Spirit. What's the rest of that, Brother Mansell? You'll say to that. What, the walked in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall the lust of the flesh. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's the grace of God for it. There is the Spirit of God. But if we have, if we don't apply it, if we don't enact upon it, and if we don't walk in the Spirit, then it's void to us. And the warning today is that someone said to me that I was so lost. They moved from a certain area of their life into an area of being so lost. Do you know how close every one of us is to being so lost? Now, Jesus taught us in John, I think, 15th chapter of John, I am the true vine, and ye are the branches. You know, there's got to be a connection. And where that's severed, where that is a severed idea, there is no life in that. But he gives us this idea, I am the vine and you are the branches. I'm going to prune you, take care of you, you're going to be grafted in, I'm going to give you something. But you're going to have to be connected. If you're not connected, you're going to be so lost. And I pondered for, I'm thinking about it a lot in our world today and how far our world is going away from, I'll be honest with you, I like to think of myself as a logical, practical person. And I endeavor to do that with the decisions I make in life and things and say this is what works and this is a logical idea, and I look at the world around us and it's went beyond just the theology, or it's went beyond just rational ideas. It's went into the ridiculous. Our world's going into the ridiculous. And I'm saying how? How did it happen that our world, I'm going to use our nation, but it's really the world. I'm going to use our nation and say, how did the United States of America get in my lifetime from where it was? I'm not saying it's perfect, never, I have no idea that. But where did it get from where it used to be to where it is now? And it's on a fast track in stupidity. Maybe that's a wrong word to use, but it's going fast track in the idiotic, in the ridiculous, in the far out, the unexplainable. How can the rational, intelligent people, how do you go from there to there? How did a person that used to have an understanding get to say, I'm so lost, and still know, I'm so lost, I got so far from what I used to. Do you know, Lord, help every one of us, that unless we stay hooked with the Lord, we've got the potential to make ridiculous arguments about our lives. We got the potential to be so far off in rational thought. Scripture I want to look at is in Psalms 119. Most everybody in here would probably have a good chance of being able to quote this, 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need something that is a stability to our life. Jesus, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, after the greatest sermon ever preached, says to them that if you hear these words of mine, what? The words that I just told you. If you will hear these words and do them, I will liken you unto a man that digs down. He makes a foundation. He gets up down, does something solid, and he builds a house there. And when the storms and the rains and the winds come, and they beat upon that house, and it beats upon that house, and the illogical, unrational ideas, and all of the things come, and they beat on that house, the Word of God will prevail. All of that comes, and all that nonsense, and all that kind of stuff, and I believe the Word of God. God said in the beginning that He made us in His own image. That will never change. Mankind was made in the image of God. we weren't created or evolved from something. We were created in the image of God. I hold that as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The next statement is, he said, and he made a male and female made he them. It will never change. The idea of what God did will never change. And we need that in our lives. And what's happened to our world, what happens to individuals, what will happen to us if we go away from this? It will be like, you've probably, most of you have heard the word. If not, you're going to hear it now. But you've heard the idea. It's usually the term is used. It's an old British word, old English word. But it the word literally means, I think, to be fastened or tied or anchored. But you'll hear the terms about sailing ships that they're set at their mooring. Or that they're in the harbor at their mooring. And what the word mooring mean, or the moor, to moor something, means that if a ship left on the waves is left there without anchor, without being tied to the harbor or to the pier, if it isn't like that, the waves of the motions of the waves and the movement will rock it and move it, and it'll move off. And so when the ships come in, they tie up or they throw a deep anchor. An anchor locks in, and it's called at their moorings. Do you know that our nation has lost its mooring? This is what has literally happened to our nation. There was a time that the nation, I'm not saying it was perfect, and I'm not even glorifying sectism of any kind or anything like that, but the nation on a wholesale mind was a mind of God. And there was a principal idea. Do you know when I grew up, where I grew up, in the area I grew up, did you know that a lot of old farmers and stuff that did not go to service of any kind would not work on Sunday? You can go through the theology of that. I'm not interested in it. I'm talking about a mind, a heart. I'm talking about moored to something. I don't understand all the Word of God. I'm not responsible to do that. I do my best and I understand, and God reveals. It's not the point. The point is what you're moored to. Our nation isn't moored to anything anymore. It used to be moored to something. It used to be anchored to something. And it didn't happen overnight to where they said, hey, let's get prayer out of school. And they didn't do that on a Sunday and wake up on Monday with all the stuff that's going on in our nation. It didn't work that way. It simply meant they cut the cord. They cut the cord to the moorings. They stopped saying that prayer is valuable. I'm going to tell you something today. The Word of God teaches us that prayer is most valuable. That God hears and answers prayer. Faith in God is valuable. The Scripture teaches us, Jesus said to them after the fig tree they come by and was marveled, and he said to them, have faith in God. What are you going to trust in? You really want to trust in the government? You know, but next year, Lord willing, next year I get to draw Social Security at the end of next year. Well, I mean, I paid into it. We get to do it. It's an okay thing. But you don't think I've got overconfidence in it. Well, come on, our nation, you're going to put confidence in that? But our country now, when you look and say, how did we... I don't mean to be cruel or mean or not sensitive to anybody's plight. And I'm not here today to promote any kind of bad will or evil of anything. But God teaches us to love sinners, to love everybody. He does, enough to die for them. But this, we've lost our moorings until we're hideous. Till people are absolutely ridiculously hideous. To where I have seen these clips of where teachers, can I tell you something about teachers that my grandmother told me? When my grandmother was a young girl growing up, she told me that in the school system, that a teacher had to have pretty much the same qualities of a Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about a public school teacher. Somebody that was going to take people's children under their control, They had to, she said that they could not stay, this is what she told me, almost always a young woman that couldn't stay out after dark, was expected to have the utmost morals, could not drink or smoke, couldn't have any of these things in their life because they was moored to something. If you understand what I'm saying, there was a conviction about something. God's word means something. If you're going to have somebody in control of this, we want somebody with some moorings. We want somebody with convictions. We want somebody that if they do something wrong, they apologize. If they do something right, they make it right. My children's eyes are on this woman. They're going to spend a lot of their daytimes with them. I want them to present something godly to my children and show that. I've heard, seen clips of people in the most hideous attire, in the most hideous look, that are bragging about how they are confusing children about their genders. How does a nation get from where we used to be to where we're going? We can't change the tide of the world. That's not really my concern here today. I'm looking at us a matter of what are you going to say? Experimental knowledge. We look and we see this. That somewhere along the line back in our history, people started saying that this has no worth or value anymore. I'm going to tell you what. The number one textbook in every school should be this. Do you know it used to be? This used to be the textbook for children. And you can look and say that's old-fashioned or it won't work for us or anything like that. I'm going to tell you what the danger of not having it and being moored to it is. So at a certain time in history, there started being a kickback on everything godly. We want our freedom, they hollered. We want to be able to express ourselves and who we are. The Bible teaches us about our self-expression, that we are individuals, and it says to lose yourself and take Christ. You'll be a lot better off with the image of Christ than your old stinking dirty image. But no, let me express myself. Let me do that. I'm an individual. I want to do that kind of thing. Do you know where that's going to end up? Well, this is the way it works. If you can picture this in your mind, the ship comes in. I think of an old sailing ship myself with the sails and the beautiful sails. And it comes in and it moors itself. And after a while, somebody says, we're tired of being moored. We're tired of being caught to this. We're stuck here. We're going to go. We want some. And you cut it loose. You come out the next day and it's drifted out a little ways. Where does drifting end? Where's without purpose, without direction? God's word is a lamp unto our feet. Where am I going to step? What kind of dangers is this? So if I lose this and with where I'm at now, do you know right where I'm at now I can lose my mooring? Well, I maybe ain't got the years to go too far. You'd be surprised. But I'll tell you what, those that come after you, that look to you and you see, they'll go farther than you ever did. And in a few generations, you're not moored to any kind of... Think of the way that our country's thinking now and the way people... And again, this is not political. You guys know that. It's not political or anything like that. But I've heard statements from the President of the United States that's totally lost its moorings. Well, where did it get to a person like that could even get close to a place like that? And yet, this is where the loss of these things are. It's not dangerous to take prayer out of schools. Well, I'll be honest with you. I never was a big proponent of having a religious person that would dictate their beliefs of religion on the children. I don't think that would be a good idea, but I do say this. When you start losing the desire and the principles of the Word of God, and you eliminate them out of your life, and you say, as they did in the Old Testament, mean when the Lord said that He had something against them, they had committed two sins, and He was the fountain of living water. But what did they say? We ain't gonna drink it. When you go and say, I'm not going to do it, Lord. I'm not going to do it. So the ship begins to drift. How far and how fast does a ship... What would you think would end up being the results of a ship just left out to let go? It's either going to get to farther and farther at sea until you would say, I'm so lost. I can't even see the shore anymore. I don't know anything about it anymore so far. Or it's going to drift out there and it's going to crash on the rocks. And it's going to break up into a shipwreck and going to be totally destroyed till there's nothing more than a vague memory in somebody's mind of this great, beautiful sailing ship that used to be. I want to say this message today, not that we can change the world, but to let each one of us know individually that if you lose your mooring, you're going to drift. And drifting doesn't drift into a positive place. Jesus, the Bible teaches us that, yeah, these things are available, but you've got to walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but you've got to be the one that's going to do it. There's a scripture, I want to bring this out, because this is it's a very human idea for sure. In 1 Samuel, the 28th chapter, I want to look at the life of someone who became unmoored. And it is King Saul. The history of King Saul he was anointed the first king of Israel. And he... The idea of him to begin with was that he was a shy man, that he was a humble man, and he wasn't one to push himself out to the front, but he was chosen to be king. Well, king can, and authorities and those kind of things can do a lot for you, but I'm going to tell you, no matter what the path of your life is, whether it's successful or it's not successful, or whether you are able or not able, it's more important to stay hooked than anything else that you can do in your life. When the trouble comes that wants to rock you, I'd say get deeper. Brother Sammons used to say, it always amazed him, he said, that people would not come to service when they needed to the most. He used to say that we'd know somebody was in trouble and we'd be praying for them and stuff, and then he'd look and they wouldn't be here, and he would say, this is exactly when you need to be here. This is when you need to come. Well, here is a man in Saul, and I'll pick it up in third verse, I think, of the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel. It says, and now Samuel was dead. All Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And Saul saw the host of the Philistines. He was afraid, and his heart greatly troubled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams nor by Urim, I think, which is through the priesthood, nor by the prophets. All right, here's the story of a humble man made king. God's hand was on him. He was considered a man of God, a leader of God's people. He put away all those that had familiar spirits, took down the altars, had done some things for the Lord. Somewhere along the line, Samuel lost his mooring. He didn't put the proper respect to God. He didn't put the proper obedience to God. He didn't give the proper dedication to the Lord. And now he gets into a place in his life. I wonder if Saul could have said after he prayed and there was no answer by dream nor priest or no answer that come to him. I wonder if he should have said, dropped to his knees and said, "I'm so lost. Something's happened in my life and I've went away from the principles and things that I've had, and I'm so lost so far that I can't even touch God anymore." What's the scariest thing, most fearful thing that can happen in your life? What about if God turns his face from you? What about if nothing you do could stir the Lord to move or have passion or pity on you? Well, I think that that would be a place to where we would say, "I'm so lost." Saul did not do this overnight. Folks, he done it by degree. He done it by cutting his mooring. That's what he did. He cut, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know what to do without it. Recently in my life, and it's not a boast, I'm just telling you how thankful I was that I met these people and started talking, and they were so much different than I was, and I started talking and dealing with them, and when they said things, I would have a scripture. And I would come away. See, that it really is different with you all, because we all believe. But when I was expressing, "This is what I believe," I learned something of myself, that I had believed the word of God and still believe it. That I have patterned and do things in my life because of the word of God. This is why I think the way I do. I don't think that I should raise up in vengeance against somebody. You know why? Because the Lord said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." I don't have it now. I've patterned that in my life because I have a light to my path. I'm moored to something. I'm moored to something that I believe. Some of the things in the scriptures is not easy. Like if someone smite thee on, it's still the word of God. If somebody smite thee on the cheek, turn also the other. I don't know whether all that applies or the application of it, but I believe it because it's the word of God. Lord, help me fulfill that in the word of God, because it's a light unto my path. I will end up in a better place by following God's word than anything else, especially my own opinions and my own ways. Saul started following his own ways. He was moored to his own opinions, his own ways. Yeah, God said this, but he couldn't have meant that. He must have meant this because that don't work for me. This is what happened to a man that was moored or unmoored from God. Someone that had drifted and became disobedient, who started taking things in his own way. And so what? The Lord said it wasn't your job, King, to make the offering. There's nobody else here to do it. So God must have meant that. God didn't say this exactly, but God must have meant. You know how many things God gets blamed for meaning that he didn't mean? So Saul says, well, he must have meant, as long as the prophet's here, you don't do it. Because the prophet's late coming, I better do it myself. And surely that's what God meant. No, that's not what God meant, Saul. He told you to keep your hands off of it. So leave it alone. Lord, help me to be moored to what God wants, not what I want myself. This was Saul. He couldn't get an answer of no way. So then this is what he says. Then said Saul unto his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath familiar spirits." Now wait a minute. Hold a minute. At one point, this man believed God enough to get rid of all the familiar spirits. The reason he had to tell his servants to go find one, because he got rid of everybody. And he come unmoored. Is that logical? Is that sensical? No, it's not. But I can't get God anymore. How far will we go? I'm not going to read anymore. I'll just do that. How far will we go? Could we go to a witch of Endor? Could we go to God's enemies for help? Could we go into the impractical, the illogical? Can we go into that? And I say yes, if we lose our moorings. we could end up anywhere. There's a story of David. Saul, there's no sign that Saul made it back into much favor with God. David did. But you know, David, even you can look what 2 Samuel 11, the story of David and Bathsheba. And it starts off by saying that at a time of war, when kings should have been war, that David didn't go to war. David, why ain't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? You know, when you get unmoored, you just go anything. So David wakes up off his bed in the afternoon, and like I said, I've always said this, I don't know when the last time I got out of my bed in the afternoon. I'm usually doing something. But David wasn't. He was on his bed. And I want to tell you something. He wasn't writing music. And he wasn't making psalms. He wasn't thinking about the next psalm and being encouraged and inspired. He lost his mooring. He lost the direction that God had for him. And he was a man of God. I want to tell you, he went farther than almost anybody else in the Scriptures went of being faithful. He was a faithful one, but he went further in this episode of his life when he became unmoored than anybody else in the Scripture. Thank God he's a story of redemption. You can be redeemed. But he drifted. A man that had faith to take a lion and a bear and a giant. And a man that had killed Saul killed his thousand, but David his 10,000. David was a man that was highly, highly blessed of God. And he lost his moorings. And he started to drift. And he drifted away from even seeing that God was watching. He drifted into the impractical, the illogical. Was it logical what he did? Was it practical? Was it right? He was king. He could have had about anything he wanted. He did. God even come to him and said, did I not give you enough? I mean, women? Did I not give you enough blessings? If I lacked anything, David, tell me what it was. No, he had plenty. And yet he lost his moorings and he ended up, I say, one of the blackest marks in all the Scripture is what David did. He committed adultery and murder. He hid it, lied, cheated. And he done it because he had lost all of his moorings. Jesus said, of those that did not dig down, that in the 7th of Matthew, there was others that built a house, and they built it on the sand. It probably looked as pretty, didn't it, Keith? Couldn't you build a pretty house on top of the sand, too? It probably looked just like the other one. It built it pretty, and everybody that drove by was saying, I'd like to have that house. And along comes the storms, and along comes the problems, and along comes the difficulties, and the wind blows and all, and it fell. Folks, it fell. This wasn't talking about a house. It was talking about people's lives. It fell. It was not moored. It was not hooked in. It had the image. It had a view, but it was not anchored. And it lost it. And there is one security. Our nation's lost it, but it doesn't mean we have to. And we'll tell you what our security is today for every one of us. It's not your preacher, I'll tell you that. It's not even the congregation, though we need each other. It is being able to be built on the rock. It's being able to have an anchor in the Word of God. This is a lamp to my feet. And it's a light into my pathway. No matter what the world says about it, whatever it's doing, my soul anchors on this. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you to the end, even in the end of the world. Do you know that's an anchor to me? Come what may. Yeah, you know, Marty, he gets all disturbed about all kind of stuff. But at the end of it, it's always come what may, my God rules. He's in it. The Word of God makes me have peace. Because financial ruin will not ruin me. All of the diseases of this world, COVID's or whatever's in that, oh, it can only take the body. Can't take my soul. I can be anchored to the peace and be secured in this life. And yes, do you know that I know that I can have the power to love my enemy because Jesus said I could? Do you know that I can look at the evils of this world coming on and know that I can love them anyway? My whole desire and purpose is that they get moored to something more than they have. To get anchored to something that will change the way they think about this, all of this stuff. It's becoming so hideous. And I want to tell you, as we look at that, let us remember this. The reason why they're doing it is because they're unmoored from the Word of God. That's why this country's went where it was. When one time the foundation was basically the principles of the Bible. It wasn't always understood right. But the basic principles. Back probably a decade ago, maybe not quite that, Bill O'Reilly, he's a news personality of sorts, had a thing to where statistics. And his statistics was, and he simply went by church membership. And well, you know what we believe about church membership, but it went simply by church, Christian church membership. And he said that we are quickly, where we used to be a religious society founded in the Word of God, we are quickly becoming a secular world. And in that secular world, loses its moorings from the things that's valuable. And we become pagan. We'll revert back to paganism, heathenism. We'll revert back to the most hideous ideas to take a child and completely disrupt them of what God made them to be with drugs and surgery is heathen. It's pagan. It's so far, and it's because it lost its moorings. I can't change that, but Lord help me to keep my anchor fast in the one that matters. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.